Any suggestions on songs?
Tony Love's
What?
Almost Hurts.
It Hurts. Okay. You can all just say it and listen to
it. What about Amazing Grace?
Okay.
236?
236. Yeah. Amazing Grace. Hey, Meg, stand up.
Yeah, you can help. You said stand up.
You just gotta look in the face.
Stop.
Okay.
All right. Ready? Here we go. Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. All right. Let's see.
I think you should sing with me.
I'm
going to sit on
central desk. Let's do 212. 212. I think somebody's going to know this
one. What are we doing?
212. Nothing but the blood.
Jamin, I left him hanging. I'm sorry, bud. Mm-hmm. Okay,
Here we go. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my part in this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this I plead, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious.
Precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
All right, hold on for a second. So we're going to do the call. We're going to have the guys to the first part. So it says, we'll start on the second verse. So it says, for my part in this I see. That'll be just the guys, okay? And then the girls are going to answer back with...
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Got it?
Got it, ladies?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so verse 2. Here we go, guys. For my part in this I see.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
For my cleansing, this my plea.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Now everyone. Oh, precious is the flow
that makes me white as snow.
No
other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Just guys. Nothing can for sin atone.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Not of good that I have done.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. To everyone, this is all my hope and peace.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
This is all my righteousness.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Alright. We got it.
Out,
good job. We want to do one more, end with that at once.
I don't think we can end on
yeah,
that.
That's right.
I was kind of confused when you just said, do you just the guys, there's four of you.
Yeah. Well, they, I didn't get much
help. I was like, yes,
so.
Let's do it. And then I
thought I would get more help. So, it's all right.
That's why I was like, because it's the first one I did. Wait a minute. It's like partially your idea.
I know.
I was just a background Google.
So
good. Good job, guys. Good job, ladies. Way to sing loud and proud.
Let's wait for him.
We are
all right, you're all warmed up. This is our finale. Okay. Here we go. My anchor holds. Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful, for I know what the winds may blow. I've an anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure. And it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest then, O gale, on my bark so small and frail. By His grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds. My anchor holds. Mighty tides about me sweep, perils lurk within the deep. Angry clouds o'ershade the sky, and the tempest
Christ rises high. Still I stand the tempest shock, for my anchor grips the rock, and it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest gentle gale on my bark so small and frail. By His grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds. My anchor holds. I can feel the anchor fast as I meet each sudden blast. And the cable, though unseen, bears the heavy strain between. Through the storm I safely ride till the turning of the tide. And it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest then, O gale, on my bark so small and frail. By His grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds. My anchor holds. Troubles almost whelm the soul, griefs like billows o'er me roll. Tempters seek to lure astray, storms obscure the light of day. But in Christ I can be bold. I'm an anchor that shall hold, and it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest then, O gale, on my bark so small and frail. By His grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds. My anchor holds.
All right, good job. Everybody have a seat. Wow. Jaden, that is not a seat. All three what? All right, guys. Welcome to our Lincoln Youth Group. We got a good crowd for this last one. So this is our last meeting before camp. Just so you guys know, we have one more with the youth team coming in 2 weeks from tomorrow, but this is our last one where it's just us, the people in Lincoln. So glad you guys all could make it. Thanks for coming. So I'm, you know, we've been meeting for almost a year now. So ever since camp last year, basically about 10, maybe 11 Team Delta meetings starting in August of last year. So 10, 11 months we've been meeting. So I'm going to actually touch on something that we really haven't talked about that much at all this year. You know, we've hit it really hard on the Bible here over the last year. We've gone through these 12 kind of rules. So far 12. We have 15 total, but 12 rules about ways we should look at the Bible, study the Bible, just general rules to keep in mind. And we also talked about a team verse, 1 Timothy 4, 12 and 13, and it talks about how you should be thou an example of the believers. Okay, if you want to be an example of the believers, you know, that's the goal is for you guys as a young man or young woman to serve God with all your heart, all your mind, your conversation, your actions, okay? That's being an example of the believers to others, okay? So how is that done? How do we be an example? How can you be a good example if you don't know how? You know, if you don't know how to be an example, you won't be a good one. So this is the importance we place on the Bible. In verse 13 in 1 Timothy 4, it says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Okay, so reading, exhortation, or so reading, we all know what that is. reading, studying the Bible. Exhortation, that's just a big word. It's like a charge. Like, I'm encouraging you guys to do something. I exhort you. You know, this last year we've been exhorting you guys to give attention to God, to invest in learning His Bible. Okay, so that's exhortation. And finally, doctrine. Reading, exhortation, and doctrine. And doctrine is these rules that we've been over. A lot of them themselves, they're Bible doctrines. Okay, they're Bible teachings. So, some of the other rules we've gone over that aren't exactly doctrines, they're going to guide you and help you learn how to grow and how to build Bible doctrine, okay? So you guys well know, that's been our goal, kind of our mission for the last almost year. And, you know, just to encourage you guys in the Bible, what it is, what it means to us, and to consider a relationship with God based on the Bible. Okay, so I'm going to talk about a little bit of something different. Let's take a minute and pray real fast, and then we'll get started. Lord God, I just thank you for so much for this time, for this opportunity. Thank you for everybody that was able to come out here today, and we could gather together. And I just pray you watch over those who weren't able to be here. And I just pray that you would just move me aside, get me out of the way, and just have it be you speaking to everybody here. You know, just touch their hearts in a way that it, you know, what you have to say through me is going to be personal, that they would be ready, prepared to take it and apply it to their hearts and to their lives. So, just pray you'll give all of them a blessing. And again, thank you for everyone that was able to come out here. And I pray these in your son's Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so like I said, we're going to actually go and do a little bit something different. We haven't talked about this hardly at all. So we're not going to actually go over the next rule. So we're going to be stopped at 12, and then we're going to have camp coming up next month, and then continue the rules after that, finish those out. But I just felt like, to me, for almost a whole year, and to not talk about this, it would almost be like an injustice to you guys, to meet for all this time and not do a single message about this, not to at least touch it and just like help you guys out in it, okay? And so this is a very important aspect of the Christian life. I'm sure you guys all have maybe some understanding of it. I don't really know how much, but maybe some idea of what it is. And this subject I'm going to talk about tonight is prayer, okay? You know, we've all prayed, you know, I just prayed just now. You know, we have an idea of, you guys probably have an idea of what prayer is. You know, at some point, you've heard somebody pray. You've heard people get up and pray, maybe a pastor, maybe your parents, or whoever. You know, prayer, I think you guys have an understanding. Quite simply, prayer is just our communication with God, okay? But I think prayer, with my generation especially, and kind of going down to you guys, I would say I think prayer is one of the most, I guess, overlooked and probably the most, one of the most misunderstood things in Christianity today. Prayer is really important. So it's something, you know, my generation, people my age have no concept of prayer. So what I'm going to do tonight is just share some things about prayer I've learned, some of my own experiences, challenges about it, the importance of it. So this is going to be a more practical message just to help you guys in your own prayer lives, in your own talking to God, okay? It's not, we're not going to be hitting the Bible hard, like we have in all the other ones, learning, you know, Bible doctrine. But this is a more practical, inspirational message for you guys. I just hope, you know, some of you guys can get something out of it and apply it. So I'm going to start asking this question. If, you know, I think a lot of people actually wonder this, is do you guys think that God actually hears our prayers? You know, do you think God actually, like, takes our prayers seriously? You know, if God is God, this eternal great being, He has everything planned out, He knows what's going to happen, have everything planned ahead of Him, you know, do you think there's a purpose in prayer? What's the point of it? You know, do you think God hears our prayers? You know, those are questions that a lot of people ask themselves and don't really understand. So, first we're going to look at a couple of, like, stories in the Bible to kind of give you guys a picture of this, of answering this question, and then we'll discuss some other things about it. So let's turn to Luke chapter 11 first. Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 11, verse 5 is where we'll be. So, I'm going to start in verse 5, but just before that, just a little bit. Basically, right before that is the first four verses. Jesus tells them basically how to pray. They say, Lord, you know, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he gives them an example of a prayer. And so then he says this in verse 5. And I will read down to verse 10. Okay, so verse 5, it says, "And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, for the door is now shut, and my children are in bed with me, are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." So you guys maybe see a little bit about prayer there with like those last few verses, but in general it might be hard to see the application of how this applies to prayer. So basically in verses 5 through 8, what happens is the story is Jesus gives this example of a guy and his family. They're all sleeping in their bed, okay? And the neighbor comes over and knocks on their door and says, "Hey, I need some bread. You know, I'm really hungry right now." You know, he just comes over in the middle of the night for no reason, okay? So that's kind of the story. And so Jesus says in verse 8, he says, "I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend." So he's saying the person in the house, they're not going to get up out of bed because they're his friend. Not because he's his friend. But he says this in verse 8, "Yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." Okay? So basically he's saying somebody in their house in the middle of the night, they're not going to get up to answer the door because, you know, they know somebody needs help. I mean, you know, some people will, but more the reason, the motive for somebody getting up in the middle of the night is going to be because of this thing he says, importunity. Okay, basically, the guy's knocking at his door, waking his family up. He's being persistent. Okay, he's not going away. The only way to get rid of him is to get up and give him some bread. So basically, this word importunity, it's a big word, but basically just means persistence. Like, if you just stand there and knock all night, okay, that's being importunous. And so basically he's comparing. Jesus is saying, this is how our prayers should be, okay? Our prayers should have importunity. We should be persistent in our talking to God, okay? And just another example of this, let's go over to Luke 18. So just over a couple chapters, and this will kind of give us a little better picture of it as well. So over in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus is talking and he says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought," excuse me, "and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in the city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. Verse 7, And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" So basically, what he gives another story, and he says, okay, so you have this judge, a judge who, it says that He fears not. He feared not God, neither regarded man. So he really doesn't care about anybody except himself. Okay, this judge isn't going to do what's right. Okay, he doesn't care. He just wants to get the best out of the situation for himself. You know, maybe for money or just for convenience. Okay, so he's not a good guy. He doesn't even fear God, doesn't fear other people. Okay, but so this woman comes to him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. So she's trying to, like, provide justice, or, you know, somebody did something to her. You know, that's the adversary, and she wants justice for it, okay, to be avenged for it. So the judge isn't going to do it out of the kindness of his heart. He's not going to do it because he's a good guy and wants to see good, you know, the right thing happen. It says in verse 5, this judge, he says, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So it says how the judge, he's gonna help her out because he's wearied, because he's tired of this lady keep coming back to him. Okay? So basically between these two things, this word importunity, that's Jesus is making the picture of, that's how we should be in our prayers. We should be persistent. We should basically get to the point where we're annoying God with our prayers, that he's, okay, fine, I'm going to have to deal with them, okay? Verse 7, look at verse 7, he says, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? So, you know, with this, you have this unrighteous man, and he's eventually going to get tired of these people, you know, crying out to do something, okay? And so he's gonna get it done. But so he's saying, he's making the comparison, he's saying, shouldn't God, who loves you, who is your father, isn't God going to, like pay more attention? You know, if you cry day and night, won't he avenge his own elect? And that's what he's saying, that he will avenge them speedily. So he's saying, you know, God's going to do better than this judge. You just have to be the one that's persistent in prayer. Okay, you have to be consistent, do it, you know, do it often. Okay, so these are kind of the two stories. And for this, let's go to this third place, is 1 John 5:14. So 1 John is kind of towards the end, a few books before Revelation. So really, I would say this is the most important one right here. The first two places, they kind of paint a picture, give you kind of a visual example of God trying to make the point that we need to be persistent in prayer. But this one, it actually, like, defines it. It tells us how it is. Okay? So in 1 John 5, verse 14, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we, verse 15, too, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So it says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Okay, right there. There's your answer. God does hear our prayers. Our prayers do matter to God. Okay? That's why it's important to pray. So, look there how it says, according to his will. Okay? So, let's say I pray day and night. Okay? Let's say, you know, how it talked about the woman over in Luke, how she prayed day and night or she didn't pray, but she asked this guy day and night to help her out. Well, let's say I'm being persistent, persistent to God in my prayers, and I pray day and night for, you know, for me to win the lottery. Let's say I won a bunch of money, and, you know, God, please help me. You know, I really need some money. I want to live a luxury life, super rich. You know, please help me win the lottery. Okay, if that's what I pray day and night, the thing is, you know, winning the lottery, that's not going to be a part of God's will for my life. Right here it says, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us, okay? So if I'm asking to win the lottery, that's not according to God's will. Okay, if you've been through discipleship, one of the lessons is about what is the will of God for somebody's life, okay? After I'm saved, the will of God is for me to be more like Jesus Christ, okay? Winning $100 million in the lottery, doesn't make me any closer to being like Jesus Christ, okay? Me becoming like Jesus Christ, the will of God, it's an inward thing. It's something that happens on the inside, okay? Obviously, God, we're going to, you know, if we do what's right, if we do what's right on the inside, and we take care of God, we serve God, He's going to provide for our physical needs, okay? I would say He's going to provide for our physical needs whether we pray or not, okay? That's just a promise He's given in His Bible, that He will provide for your needs if you're doing what's right, okay? Those are physical things, okay? Money, that's a physical thing. But me fulfilling the will of God, becoming more like Jesus, has nothing to do with any physical possessions that I have. It only has to do with me changing who I am on the inside, okay? So on the other hand, let's say I pray day and night to God about this friend I have at school or at work. You know, if I just say, God, you know, this guy, he curses your name. He does a lot of bad things. You know, he does terrible things. And, you know, Lord, I was the same way. I was the same way as this person. I'm a sinner just like this person. Okay, I just ask, Lord, that you would show him grace. You would show this person grace. Show them the way to get saved. You know, help me to be the Christian that I need to be. Help me to be the person that I need to be so you can use me, you know, to help you, to help deal with this person, okay? God, help me be the light that I need to be the witness that I need to be, to help them see how to get saved, to, you know, you just, those kind of prayers, that's according to the will of God. You're asking God to reach out to this person and save them, okay? Is it according to God's will? The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Of course that's according to God's will. He wants everybody to be saved, but He's not going to force people, but that's His will. So if you pray things like that according to God's will, He's going to hear you, okay? It says if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us, okay? God is going to hear that prayer of me interceding with another person, okay? This is what I call a prayer of intercession, okay? I'm interceding on somebody else's behalf, okay? The intercession prayers, those are when you pray for others, okay? Doesn't necessarily mean in this example that this person's going to get saved. In the end, it's their own choice, but maybe God will do something with that person to rock their world, to eventually lead them to get saved. Okay, you'll never know unless you pray for them. You intercede on their behalf, because they can't talk to God themselves if they're unsaved. Okay, and this intercession prayer, it doesn't just have to be for unsaved people. Okay, it can also be for Christians, for one another. Okay, you know, my prayer for you guys, when I intercede on your guys' behalf, that God would give you guys the fire, the passion to go out and reach the world, to be an example of the believers, as we've talked about. That God would give you the strength, the courage. You know, those are all inward things that I'm asking God to do with you guys. Okay, those are all according to the will of God for you guys to become more like Jesus and to reach the world. Okay, so intercession prayers, those are very important, so important. And, you know, it's a double benefit because, you know, number one, praying for others, for me, it helps keep my selfish mind off of myself, okay? Rather than saying, God, help me win the lottery, I'm praying for other people, okay? That's an unselfish thing, okay? Number two, intercession prayers, it invites God into a work, to work in somebody's life, okay? The importance of prayer is that it takes something and it invites God to be a part of it. That's what prayer does. If you're praying for somebody who isn't saved, you know, you're asking God to intercede, to deal with this person, you're inviting God to work in their life. You know, I mean, like, you know, if you've been a part of with the church or know anything about us, you know, we love to go out and talk to people, talk about the Bible, share what we believe to the people we know. And that's, you know, some of you guys are doing that with your own parents and your own friends are talking about, you know, what you believe and what you're learning and everything. That's great. You know, that's really awesome stuff. I'm just going to say this, though, is giving out the Word of God truly is only like half the battle. Okay? If you're just giving out the Word of God and sharing with people and not praying, you're only fighting half the battle. Okay? if prayer isn't involved, this seed that you've shared, you've planted in others, it's a lot of times will just die away. So what I'm saying is, you should, after giving out, after sharing with people, we should pray for somebody after those conversations, you know. And what that does is it invites God to take what you've shared with them and do something with it. It invites God into that work, okay? It invites him to be a part of the work that you've done for him. Okay, that's the importance of prayer. So, as we saw, clearly God, he does hear our prayers, if it is according to the will of God. And that's the important thing right there. So let me ask this question, though. If, you know, even with the Bible telling me that God hears our prayers, you know, at least to me, I don't know about you guys, but at least to me, how come it feels like so often prayer doesn't change anything? Prayer doesn't do anything. You know, it so often feels like that when you pray. Why doesn't it seem like God hears my prayers? Why? When the Bible tells us so, why doesn't God hear our prayers? You know, why aren't they always answered how I want them to be? Even if I'm praying for things according to the will of God, why aren't my prayers answered? And I'm going to give you guys just a few real reasons why. Number one, what we just went over in Luke 11 and Luke 18, this thing we call importunity. You know, how I'm not being persistent. I'm not pestering God about whatever it is. I'm not pestering him to the point where he's going to deal with me. You know, a lot of times my prayers are just more of an afterthought rather than an actual prayer, an actual talking to God. Okay, God might not answer this prayer of mine right away because he wants to see me, you know, see how much it actually matters to me. See, he wants to see if I'm going to be persistent with it. He wants to see if I'm going to keep asking for these things. Okay? 1 Timothy 5:5. It talks about women in the church who pray day and night. 2 Timothy 1:3. It says how Paul prays for Timothy day and night. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. It says how they praying exceedingly day and night. And then Luke 18:7, where we were a little bit ago, says, "Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him?" Okay? And we'll get to this in a little bit about what it means to, you know, be praying day and night. But what I'm saying is, a lot of times God just wants us to see how much we actually care about something, you know, or somebody else, whether we're going to be persistent in our prayers or if it's just kind of an afterthought in our mind, something we really don't care about. So that's a one reason. Another reason why you may not feel prayer isn't working in your life. Here's the thing is listen to this. Is with prayer, the thing about prayer that's, I guess, hard for us as finite, as human beings, the thing that's hard is you cannot prove that prayer works. You know, you can believe that prayer works. You can actually see prayer work in your life. You can know for sure that prayer works based on your own experience, your own past, but you really can't prove that prayer works. And let me explain, you know, to somebody else who isn't a Christian or they don't believe in prayer, you can't actually prove to them that prayer works. You can say it does. You can say, "Oh, God answered this prayer for me and this prayer," and you can know for sure in your mind that it was God. But to somebody else, you can't absolutely prove it to them. You know, they can just say, "Oh, it was just time and chance." You can't prove it to them. Zach, the youth leader up in Kansas City, he told us this story when he was talking about prayer one time about how he was driving home from work and, you know, he was just saying how his mom, when he drops off his kids at his mom's house, you know, his mom always tells him that she's praying for him. She's praying for him for safety and just everything he does, she prays for him. And so Zach was saying how one day coming home from work is, you know, there was this big accident that was literally like 2 seconds away from hitting him. And it probably would have killed him is what he said. And, you know, to Zach and to me, what I believe about it is that was the result of prayer. That was a result of his mother, you know, praying for him, of many other people probably praying for him. Okay. But the thing is, somebody else might just say it was time and chance. He just got lucky. You know, there were 10 other unsafe people around there who also narrowly avoided this deadly crash. You know, you see, you can't absolutely prove that prayer works. Somebody like me, somebody like Zach, we may believe that it was the result of prayer, but we can't actually prove it. That's the thing about prayer. That's hard to... makes it hard to pray, really. The only way... the only way that you can prove that prayer works is by the promises in the Bible. Okay? It comes back to believing what God said, to having faith. The reason that I know personally that prayer works is because the Bible says in 1 John 5:14, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. That's how I know that prayer works. Okay, I can't prove it any other way other than what God has told us in the Bible. Okay, that's the only way I know for sure that prayer works. So to see prayer work in our lives, we have to believe that God hears them. Okay, you have to believe it based on what God has told us in the Bible, based on God telling us that prayer works, that God hears our prayers. So I guess why then? Why did God make it so you can't actually prove that prayer works? What's the reason for that? You know, it would make it a lot simpler because then, you know, we'd all be so more determined to pray if we could actually prove that prayer works. Well, what that would do is it would ruin the point of prayer. Okay? Prayer is my own personal communication with God. Okay, if I could prove to other people that prayer works, you know, if I could say, right here, here's the evidence, right here, I just proved that 100% God just answered my prayer. There's no arguing about it. If I could do that, where there's no disputing it, you know what would happen is my flesh, my ungodly nature about me, it would use prayer to say, I can prove that God answered, you know, 5 prayers this week. You know, I could prove that God answered this many prayers in the last month or the last year or whatever. And you know what we would do with that is we would begin comparing ourselves to other people. We would use prayer as basically a measuring stick. We would prayer would not be anymore our personal communication with God, but prayer would become a way for us to spiritually measure ourselves, to say, oh, I had more prayers answered than you, then obviously I'm more spiritual. That's what our ungodly human nature would do with that, okay? You know, God so many times just wants us to believe this Bible. That's all he asks. So for us to see the work of prayer in our lives, we have to believe the Bible that prayer works. We have to believe it. back in Luke 11, the last verse that we read, it says this. It says, I think it's Luke 18. So this is what it's talking about, is God just wants us to have faith in the Bible. Okay? Yeah. So Luke 18, verse 8. He says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Okay, so he's talking about the judge there. But then he says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? He asks a question. He says, you know, is God going to find faith on the earth? Who's, and you know, the context, what we just read the story about, is about prayer. Okay, he's asking the question of am I going to be able to find faith when I come back? This is Jesus asking the question. Jesus is wondering, am I going to find faith when I come back on the earth? And not just the faith in a general sense. Like I said, the context of it is prayer. Is he going to find faith in prayer on the earth? Okay, is he going to find people who actually pray believing that God is going to answer their prayers, that God hears their prayers? Okay, that's the thing, is prayer is not about proving it works. It's not about, you know, showing what God's done. Prayer is your own personal communication. It's only between you and God. Okay, that's the reason why we can't prove prayer works. Okay, because otherwise, if we could spiritually measure ourselves by prayer, it wouldn't just be us and God, okay? So, okay, so you may not be able to prove that prayer works, okay? That's the point, okay? That there's a reason for that. God wants you to believe, to have faith on the earth about prayer, that it works, okay? So I'm just going to say this. If you feel like God isn't listening to your prayers or isn't answering them, my suggestion, keep praying. Pray more about it, okay? At the very least, even if your prayers don't get answered, at the very least, it'll help you think about things. It'll help you think about yourself, contemplate spiritual things. God will help you see things the way that you need to see it through prayer, okay? At the very least, even if it doesn't get answered, just keep praying. Okay, so, you know, I hope that helps you guys understand just a little bit about prayer and how it works. I'm just going to also touch on briefly how we pray, okay? And I know this is a really boring subject. I mean, prayer is just, like I said, prayer is one of the most, I guess, misunderstood or just things that it's not important today for people to pray in Christianity. Is people don't think it's an important thing for them to pray. I know this is something that you guys may not like, you guys may not understand yet, but it's so important to understand about prayer, the importance of it, why we pray, the fact that prayer does work based on us believing the Bible. Okay, so let's look at how we pray. Okay, this sounds silly because I know, we all know how to pray. We all know how to pray, you know. Fold our hands, close your eyes, and you start talking to God. That's how you pray, right? Simple as that. The truth is, prayer is much more than just your body position and praying aloud. Prayer is much more than that. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And this is kind of a familiar place if you guys have been around the last couple of meetings we've had. I know Logan, not Logan Miller, but Logan Oren from Bravo Team, when he came, he talked about this chapter, Ephesians 6. This is about the armor of God. So we had Logan talk about it. The night before that, Chris on the adult team, he talked about Ephesians 6. I think we've covered it a couple other times. So you guys know well about it. But Ephesians 6, verses 12 through 18, talks about this thing we call the armor of God, where he likens the Christian life to a soldier. Okay, how a soldier, he goes into battle, he has to put on these battle pieces. He has to put on things of protection to protect himself. So he compares our lives as a Christian to this armor, that we need to go into the Christian battle, the Christian life, prepared, putting on the right things so that we can serve God in the right way. And so this is how to prepare ourselves spiritually, not physically, but spiritually. So verse 12, it says, Ephesians 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rules of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So right there it says spiritual wickedness. Our battle is spiritual, not physical. Okay, that's what these armor pieces are preparing us for, a spiritual battle, not physical. Okay, so let's keep reading. In verse 13, it says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Okay, so verse 18, again, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit." So it says praying always, okay? That means it is always the time to pray, okay? And you might think to yourselves, like, you might think, oh, it doesn't literally mean always. Like, you know, because then if you're praying always, like, you'd just be stuck in your room, you know, sitting on your bed with your hands folded, eyes closed. You know, you could never sleep. You could never read your Bible, never talk to others. If you're just sitting there always praying, like this verse says, you couldn't get anything else done if you're just always praying, okay? But the Bible says praying always. It says always, so it means always. And I'll explain it in a little bit, but just in general, what I like about this passage is, you know, prayer isn't something that you put on. All the other pieces are something that you wear. You put on, you know, you have the shield of faith, you have the helmet of salvation, you put those pieces on. But prayer, it tells you to pray, but it doesn't specifically put it as a piece of armor. Okay? what I get from that is prayer basically is a, in our life, in our warfare as a Christian, prayer is like, it's a constant, it's a continuous thing in our lives. I like to think prayer is more of a lifestyle. It's almost like a state of mind to be in prayer. Okay? A few of the verses on this is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says, pray without ceasing. Luke 18, verse 1, where we were earlier, it says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Colossians 1, 3, it says, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Okay, and we went over also several verses earlier talking about people who were praying day and night, praying all the time. So what I'm saying is prayer should be like a constant in our life. We should be in constant communication with God throughout the whole day. And I'll just tell you guys, from my own experience, this is one of the hardest things to do. Okay, it sounds so simple. You know, a lot of things in the Bible sound simple, and they are simple, but they're not easy. Okay, praying always takes practice and a process to get there. You know, I'll be the first to admit, I fail in this every single day. You know, in this world, just think about this world around us where we have all these pleasures, all these things that we enjoy, our five senses, you know, sight, we have hearing, we have touch, we have taste, we have smell. Our five senses, you know, they're constantly being worked, being stimulated in this world. So it's hard for me to be a part of this world, having these five senses stimulated and having conversation with God at the same time. Basically, you know, think about it, prayer is the most spiritual thing that we can do, okay? Prayer only requires my thoughts. Prayer doesn't require anything of my five senses. It doesn't require me to fold my hands. It doesn't require me to even close my eyes. Prayer is only a spiritual thing, okay? Something with my flesh, prayer is something that my flesh, my five senses, they don't get to participate in. Prayer is only spiritual. It's something that we should do truly throughout the entire day. Constant communication with God throughout the whole day, it helps us keep our mind off of our flesh and off of everything else in the world around us, our five senses. And it helps us keep our mind on spiritual things, thinking about God and talking with Him. You know, the Bible says in Romans 7:18, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Basically, there's nothing good about this flesh. You know, the only part that's saved about me is the inside. Okay, it's only the inside of me that matters. My flesh, the things, you know, that I desire, there's nothing good about this body. It's going to lead me straight to sin 100% of the time. Okay? So thank God that He gave me prayer. He gave me prayer. He gave me something. He gave me constant communication with Him to keep my mind off of my flesh. Okay, that's the best way we can keep from sinning, is if I'm constantly communicating and talking with God. Okay, I'm not just limited to be talking with God when I first wake up in the morning. You know, the couple meals I eat in the day, before I eat those, I can pray. And then before I go to bed. It's not like that. Prayer is open lines all the time, constant communication with God. Okay, and of course, like, you know, I say you don't have to pray with your hands folded and eyes closed. You know, we do that. You know, that's not a bad thing that we pray before we eat out loud and, you know, pray before we do Bible study and all that stuff. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we fold our hands and close our eyes because that eliminates two of our most important senses. Okay, it eliminates our touch and eliminates our sight. Okay, those are things that are going to distract us. So we do those, you know, to focus on God when we pray. We shut off those senses so that we're not distracted. But I'm just saying, if you're praying continually throughout the day, or you're able to continually pray throughout the day without doing those things, okay, you can pray to God just in your mind. I think you should have a balance. Like, I think it's good to, you know, get on your hands and knees in your room and close your eyes, pray to God on your own, because that will keep you 100% focused on God. But even in the times when you're going through school, you're walking through the grocery store, whatever it is you're doing, you can still be praying to God just in your mind. You can just be talking, having this constant conversation with Him. You know, God knows your thoughts, and if your thoughts are intending to talk to Him, He's going to hear you. So I'm just trying to encourage you guys, you know, don't limit prayer in your lives. Prayer is something that you guys can do all the time. And really, it's the most spiritual thing that we can do. It helps us keep our mind on eternal things, on godly things, always. So the time to pray is always. And let me just say this. From my own personal experience, the reason that I'm not always praying, I'd say the number one reason is because of pride. Okay, I'm somebody just who I like to do things on my own. I like to do things by myself, not have anybody help me. Try to do things on my own. I try to go through some days of my life without even having God in it at all. I want to do it myself. I want to be the God of my own life. That's a pride issue. It keeps me from praying always, from being in constant conversation with God because of my own pride. Okay? That's just me. That's my own experience. But so you guys might have other struggles with prayer, but I just thought I would share some of those things. You know, the fact that God does hear our prayers, the importance of it, how important prayer is to be praying for others, to be interceding for others. Those are very important things. And so, you know, and then some of the challenging things about prayer, you know, how we can't prove it works, but we just simply have to believe. Those are important things about prayer I just wanted to talk about with you guys. And so, also, as we approach camp, you know, I thought this would be a good message because there are always things that you can be praying about, especially before something, a big event like camp, okay? You know, as you approach camp, we can pray for each other. We should always be praying for each other, but just as approaching camp, you know, pray for your friends. Pray for friends who maybe you haven't seen for a while, and they're going to be at camp, and you're excited to see them, but be praying for them. You know, if you have some friends who they're struggling. They have lots of things going on. They're struggling with their faith. They're struggling with their love for God, or just busy with whatever. Be praying for them. You know, I encourage you guys to be praying for your friends. You can pray for them always. You know, just trying to throw out some ideas you guys can pray about. Pray for camp as a whole. You know, pray that, you know, camp is this overall, it's a successful time, successful, you know, adventure, journey that we have together, and just be praying that we can reach a lot of kids there. You know, you can be praying for your own self before camp. You can be praying that your heart would be prepared. You can be praying that you would have the right mind going into camp, you know, ready to let camp change your life. Pray that God would use camp to, you know, touch you on the inside and set you on track to serve Him. Even if you're not going to camp, you can still be praying for it. But I'm just saying, our general conversation with God, you know, throughout the day, as I mentioned, whenever we pray, it can be about anything. It's just God wants us to talk to you face to face like a friend. Okay? We can have that constant communication with Him. And so, like I said earlier, you can pray for others. We can, you know, give thanks to God for everything He's given for us and done for us. You know, there's just a lot of things. That's why the Bible says, pray always, because there's literally an unlimited number of things that we can pray about. So, that's basically all I got. I hope that I encourage you guys to pray more often, understand a little bit about why we pray and how important it is. But, you know, if any of you guys get something from this, just I encourage you guys to pray more diligently. Remember that importunity we talked about in Luke 18 and Luke 11. You know, maybe go back and read those stories. You know, try to understand it yourselves. But just pray more diligently. Be thinking of what you guys can pray about, who you can be praying about, who you think God wants you to pray about in your life, who needs intercession from you to have God reach them or whatever. So with that, I'll go ahead and close this out. And then, yes, Olivia?
Do we have homework?
No. Because we're not meeting until after camp. So we'll be about 2 months off.
But we're going to meet like next year, right?
Yeah, after camp we'll be meeting. Yeah.
Just summer break.
Yeah, just summer break. So after camp, we'll set some dates to get together. So let me just pray, and then we can talk about announcements or any questions. So bow our heads. Lord, just thank you for what you laid on my heart. You know, prayer has been something that I've just really tried to put in my life in the last few months, and I just pray that I was able to, you know, to reach somebody here, you know, that, you know, maybe they're only fighting half the battle because they're giving out the word of God, they're doing what's right, but, you know, maybe they're not understanding why we pray, or it's not something relevant in their lives. So I just pray, you know, if that's the case with any of these kids, that you just take what I said and just help them see how important prayer is, how it, you know, how it invites you back into somebody's work, how it invites you to work in somebody's life. And so I just thank you for everyone you've brought here. Please bless the rest of our night. And again, please bless the people that weren't able to be here. Keep them safe, and we hope to see them soon. So thanks again for this whole year with Team Delta and what you've done through it. Thanks for all the guests and the people who've been consistent. Just thanks for everybody who's, you know, come to any of these. And I pray that we were able to do something with them, to encourage them in some way or another. And that's really all we can do. So thank you so much. And I just pray for the rest of this night. In your son's name I pray. Amen.
Do you
want to
talk about outfits and meetings?
Yeah, so... so like I said earlier, the last meeting before camp is going to be in 2 weeks from tomorrow. So June 17th, Saturday. Okay, so dance will be all done by then. Yay.
What?
Yay.
June
17th,
Alpha Team is coming up to Lincoln, and the format's going to be a little bit different.
Yeah, so we weren't able to get the Hilltop House this time, but I think that might be good. We can try to do something a little bit different. Okay, so we'll send out more details, but I think what it'll look like is we're going to meet here first, and we're going to do devotions like we did at the Hilltop House. We're going to do devotions first, and then we'll eat, and then we're going to try to figure out something fun to do. Probably go to like Holmes Lake, play volleyball, or just walk around the lake, hang out with the people from Kansas City, do something fun there. Yes, Olivia.
So we aren't going to the Hilltop House?
We are not going to the Hilltop House.
Not be at the Hilltop.
Nobody drive out there because we won't be there and somebody else has it.
So as Caleb said, we'll most likely be meeting here. We haven't figured out details after.
I'd say we'll just meet here, plan on that. But it would be, again, about 11 o'clock?
Probably around the same time, 10:30.
So yeah, we'll send out text, just ask us, whatever.
I'll try to come in the morning, though, because I'll have to work.
Gabby looking out for details. Addie.
So, wasn't Team Alpha supposed to be on the
24th? Sorry?
Wasn't Team Alpha supposed to be coming up on the
24th? The 24th. Yeah, I'm sorry. I put that wrong on the schedule.
Okay.
Yeah, so Sarah sent me the new schedule. I forgot to print that out, like, a couple months ago. So, yeah, the schedule's just that last one is wrong.
I'm not offended.
Oh, okay, cool. Oh, yeah. All right, we're all good. So, also, if anybody's interested in camp, that's at the end of July. You can ask us about it. Devotions. Okay. And by the way, so for Team Alpha coming, they're going to have three people do devotions, so we were wondering if anybody here wanted to do devotion on our end.
Aubrey does too.
Huh?
Aubrey does too.
Aubrey does? Okay.
Right now.
Okay, so Addie, Olivia, and Aubrey.
Jeanette
yeah.
does what she said she doesn't want, she can't for some reason.
Okay.
She doesn't want to, but I think she can do it.
No, it's okay. I was nervous. Okay. You'd have to have Aubrey, just tell Aubrey she has to contact one of us. She'd have to meet with us. Just have to talk to Sarah. But, and then Olivia, you want to do a devotion? Okay. So we'll plan on Olivia and Addie doing a devotion, maybe Aubrey. So, thank you guys. And anything else? Okay.
I think just key for when Alpha Team comes, like, we'll just need a little bit more flexibility, help, just since we'll be doing it here, we'll probably go to a different location, and like we might, you know, just getting some games started and stuff like that, but this isn't your guys' first rodeo, this is our last team coming up, so you guys kind of know what to expect, and remember that we're the hosts, and so yeah, just keep that in mind as we kind of figure out what this one looks like. I mean, end out with a bang before camp. Yay. I'm excited. Let us know if you need any more questions or information. If you need any more questions. If you need more information or have questions about camp. Yes.
Where is camp?
Camp is in Kansas City. It's July 24th through the 28th. And it's at a campground in Kansas City. It's overnight for 4 days. It's the same one as last time. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So it's pretty much just there's morning and evening services every day, and then there's activities throughout the day. The theme this year is missions, and so it's going to be all about like missionaries and learning about missions, which will be super cool. Yeah. You can talk to Addie's been to camp. Caitlin, Emily, Hannah. Aubrey, Baitanya. So we talked to them more as a camp. Kids was at camp. Logan, Jaden. It's really fun. So if you're interested in those dates work for you, just let me know.
Okay.
I'll get you down there.
Okay. I don't think there was anything else. So thanks again for coming, guys. And we have ice cream sundaes upstairs. Or soon.
We need to figure out movies. I just like to
go to bed and leave.
And I finally got there, and I was like,
a billion movies.
There's
a couple movies that your mom
said. Oh my gosh. I was like,
what did
you go
to?
Yeah, like 10 o'clock.
And then you walked like over to the gym. I can't stay up that late. Because I'm in the little human. I'm not a human. I am not a rut. I am not a rut girl.
Like, or we can just watch a diet and go to the movie.
You said God died
and Jamma's living in the place. I always
forget about that.
How?
Why are you talking about that? And then you say somehow, like, people are not. Like, a living people, like, right up in space. And then you burn everything down. And I was just and then, like, now they're coming here and they're going to burn all of us.
She has been waiting. Oh my gosh.
4 inches. So fast.
I just
think
it was so important to
me. Like, they're all seeing.
Heresy. Wow, that's quite the dream.
Every second.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's hilarious. You're really doing that.
It's so funny. No, like once she, like, I just. Peggy.
The conversation without any persistence, so is that like from the God kind of thing?
Yeah, that's good. I mean, it's more like, like the prayers of like supplication and intercession, like, I think that's like more, that's obviously persistence. The opportunity of, like, you know, God, yeah, you to do something.
Yeah.
I would say, like, more the prayers of the general, like it's just, like, general prayer, I guess, you can think of it, you know, just kind of constant conversation. That's more, like, I would say, like, to keep myself, like, I was talking about, like, away from the world.
Okay, come on, Megan.
Like,
come on. Megan, stop. Let her go. Megan, come on.
But, yeah, just, like...
Come on, Megan.
More or less, you're, like... like, to...
Oh, that was a great idea.
You know, like as you mentioned, the growth and discipleship. Yeah.
Oh, five.
You guys have to. So, like, you talk about there, like, you know, a lot of times prayer isn't necessarily to change things. Like, sometimes it is.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, like, it's more just for, like, you to see things the way God sees them. So, like, I would say, like, that's more general prayers, like, for you to, you know, just, like, keep your mind off the world. Keep, you know, when you're talking to God, if you're talking to God constantly in your mind, like, that just, you're not going to be in sin. Like, it's just hard. It's going to make it harder for you to sin. It's just, you know, you're going to have purer thoughts, I guess. So.
Dude, I got those when I was, like, 10 years old. Oh, and they broke.